Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another night of Full Spectrum Radio. I am Matt, and with me, as always, is Dennis. What's going on, brother?
Oh, you know, just another lovely Wednesday night in the sweltering warm south. 97 degrees today, heat index 102, and I'll tell you what, it beat the hell out of being an asshole deep in snow, so I'm good with it. I didn't have to shovel the heat. You get that? Yeah, I'm good with it. I didn't have to watch crazy lunatics on the road trying not to slide into me. I'm good with it.
How
have you been?
For your Chicago weather update, drive to work, no problems. Got up to about 88. With about the same percentage in humidity. Then got some decent storms that came through, cleared up in the afternoon. Then it got up to like 1,000,000,000% humidity. And now on the way home and everything else, it's been a torrential downpour. I actually had to put it in the four-wheel drive because of how much water was on the side of the pavement. And grabbing my front tires and ripping them towards the curb is not a fun or pleasant feeling.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioning the vehicle, pretending to be a boat. I see that you shared the video of the RV that goes from land to water.
Isn't that thing awesome?
Oh, yeah. But here's my question. If you take it out into the waterway, have a few beers out there, how do you think the judge is going to look at the officer when he states that, well, Your Honor, I pulled the gentleman over in his RV as he was motoring across the lake, and I administered sobriety tests, and at that point I'm thinking, wait, stop. You pulled over his RV going across it. Officer, can you please submit to some sobriety test now?
Exactly. We're going to need a urine sample.
I'm picturing the officer going, do I pull him over or wait till it sinks?
Were they crossing water on the pavement? Or...
Yeah. So do you get charged with boating under the influence or driving under the influence?
That's a good question.
Whichever one you get charged with, you can always plead not guilty. Your Honor, I was not driving under the influence. I was in a boat. Therefore, the officer wrote the citation completely incorrect. And then just
Your Honor, I was not voting under the influence. I was driving.
Yes, I was in my RV. And I can imagine how the poor officer is going to try to explain that to the judge. That would be quite interesting.
Well, if the officer were to pull out his cell phone and go to CPR Matt's page, you can watch the video. Shameless plug.
Yeah, there you go. But now here's another funny one. When I was a kid, they had a... Oh, I'm glad I caught that. My computer was set for a Windows update and restart. Man, that would have pissed me off. But when I was a kid... this will kind of give away my age. There was a vehicle in the market called the Amphicar. And the first time I saw this thing, they drove it off the end of the boat ramp and right out into the lake. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, these people have lost their minds. They're going to, what the hell is he doing? He's motoring across the water. And it kind of stunned me. You know, I was a little tight, maybe 7, 10, maybe. So, yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, they actually just had on, the Amphicar is really damn cool, honestly. They had, what was it, Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. They did an episode where Richard ended up buying an Amphicar. That thing was just a pile of crap. I mean, it was just, like, stuff falling off of it. The propellers were in the driver and passenger seat. Like, it was a wreck. But they still ended up selling it for $30,000? Something like that?
Lord.
Yeah. So, apparently, if anybody does come across an Amphicar for sale, that's a couple grand and it's just a hunk of crap, you can make some good money on it.
Yeah. So, apparently, we need to locate these items. I'm good with that. But,
yeah,
yeah,
it was
cool.
Well, the people who bought the car from him showed up in a completely restored Amphicar, and they drove it to the Gas Monkey Saloon, and they drove it right in the lake, right outside the Gas Monkey Saloon, and were driving it around in the lake. And then pulled right back out and took off.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, it's like when, what was it, back in the 50s, they were trying to figure out how to get a aerial car. And one of the ones that I recall seeing was actually called, like, aerial car or aero car or something like that. They actually had... Well, one actually worked. It didn't do well, and it didn't work long, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction. But I think it would definitely have to be better than dealing with these crazy psychotics on the road today. Now, speaking of crazy psychotics on the road, my little jaunt Saturday, Terry, who is... our biggest disbeliever in the paranormal, also my best friend, has friends that the husband is military, U.S. Army, by the way, thank him for his service. Well, they got transferred to Hawaii several years ago, and now they've gotten their transfer orders to go to North Carolina, so they're coming back stateside. Well, they have a... I don't know what kind of dog it is, big floppy thing with, you know, jowls that hang down to his knees and slobber everywhere.
San Bernard?
A Neapolitan Mastiff, that's what it was.
Ah, okay.
So this poor thing, they stuck him in a crate and flew him back here, like 15 hours in his crate. You know, it's a long flight. So anyway, we met the plane as early as we could at the cargo building, pick up tank. Get him out of the crate finally. At first he was like, I'm ready to come out of this crate. And then he stopped and kind of looked around like, I don't know where the hell I'm at. And he backed up. You know how hard it is getting a Neapolitan Mastiff to get out of the crate when he wants to be in the crate? Didn't exactly go smoothly. But nonetheless, on the way up to D.C., we had absolutely no problems. Traffic flowed rather well. Coming back, of course, we always end up in little stop-and-go, bumper-to-bumper traffic. Well, Terry and I are talking about, some of the idiots that go racing by, and they're shooting three lanes. And we're like, there's no reason to shoot three lanes and blah, blah, blah. And then we start discussing accidents that we've witnessed and so forth. We're rather comfortable. We've got the stereo up. We're in her brand new month-old GMC pickup truck. And then we got packed in the ass. I shouldn't laugh, but the irony of the conversation that we were having was, jackasses just don't pay attention anymore, blah, blah, blah. Then next thing you know, we get packed in the ass. I come out and I'm like, what in the hell is wrong with you? Traffic's doing like 10 miles an hour. Are you just not paying attention? How do you pack someone in the ass when nobody is going anywhere? He goes, I'm sorry, man. I'm very sorry. We were paying attention to GPS. Did you think it was going to tell you how to get past three lanes of fully backed up traffic? Turns out, we're just south of D.C. They are headed for Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They have it easily 10 more hours to go, and they're worried about GPS and where they're at. Are you kidding me? You dumbasses. Three people in the vehicle. They had all three just graduated high school. So they're going for their first vacation of being graduated. Yeah. Way to start the trip, guys. Now, here's my other question about this. With three people in the vehicle, were all three of you looking at GPS and none of you were smart enough to go, hey, stop. No, apparently not.
And another thing I find amusing about that, too, is I don't know what kind of GPS that they was it an Amish GPS? They all speak. If you're on a road, you're in the middle of traffic, it's not going to be, and there's no exit, it's not going to be telling you to, get off. It's going to say, get off in a quarter mile, an eighth mile. You don't have, when I'm in my car and I'm driving with my GPS on, I don't have to look at it. I don't need to see the map.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, like I said, they're an easy 10 hours from their destination. Did they expect that, hey, we might have to exit here shortly, which, by the way, there were no exits whatsoever. Anywhere near us. Stupid. Not paying attention.
All right. Okay, well,
let me
back up real quick.
Okay.
Benefit of the doubt for them. If they were sitting in stop-and-go traffic, and what, where'd you say their tags were from?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, so they've been on the road for a while.
Exactly. They left at 6 a.m., and it was about 10:30.
So if they were looking for maybe, going through the GPS and looking for places to eat or a place to stop and, go to the bathroom, something like that, I could see how all three of them would be like, all right, well, this is what's around here, and scrolling down and looking through, let's go here. Like, I can understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand any of it. It's not that difficult to look ahead of you.
Well, okay. No, apparently they didn't... They didn't graduate with honors. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm thinking none of the three were valedictorian. So anyway, here's and I give kudos out to GMC. 10 maybe, I don't know, we were doing 10, 15 mile an hour maybe. Obviously, they were going a little faster than we were. The little Honda Passport or whatever it was, some kind of little Honda SUV thing, did not fare nearly as well as that 2014 GMC. She got a bent bumper. He got a smashed grill. Probably has a headlight aiming somewhere for owl searches. The other headlight is probably aimed perfectly if you're hunting night crawlers. The grill itself now had a frown because two pieces were hanging downward. Yeah, it was amusing. So,
go ahead.
English. Did you speak it?
I was going to say, speaking of tours and trips and stuff like that, why don't you go ahead and knock that out?
You just beat me to it. Now, see, if you'd have just shut the hell up, I would have been able to get that in there. But we're speaking about tours and trips and vacations and things. So, folks, here's a great idea for you. Go check out St. Louis or New Orleans. Here we go.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
So there you go, folks. Make sure to call NOLA Ghost Tours. Get your trip done.
Yeah.
Check into some fabulous areas. And I'll tell you, New Orleans is supposedly one of the most haunted cities in America. So make sure to catch up with NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours.
Yes, definitely. And that is NOLA. New Orleans, Louisiana is the abbreviation for it. I know it's kind of hard to hear on the audio. Some of our great friends from the network are actually ones that run the tours. There's a couple different individuals they brought on, which is why I'm not going to bring up any of the names because I don't know how they structured it. But haven't heard back from Chris, but yeah, so that is New Orleans, Louisiana Ghost Tours. All right, we got travel out of the way. What's next on the docket, buddy?
Oh, let's see. Next on the docket, let's go into evidence review. Or not review, but reveals. I went with Ryan from All Seeing Paranormal Society last night. The rest of the team pretty much had jobs and a life, so they weren't able to go with us. But we had done a... I didn't have anything else to do. My work day was done.
No, I'm not. I'm not laughing at that. I looked at the board, and I never noticed this before, and it actually really cracked me up. If you look at the where it says on air, and then you see switchboard, look at how stupid Blog Talk is by how they label the letter number and letters in yellow to the right of it.
Yes, when callers, they can't even spell it. Phone callers, it doesn't make sense.
I just noticed that. There is one callers, not callers, plural, which would be more than one. So stupid.
Yeah. Kind of funny.
Anyway.
Hey, before I go any further, regarding the evidence reveal. The Exchange Hotel is doing public tour and investigation June 20th from 8 p.m. to midnight. Now, it's $25 a person, but I'll tell you what, Twisted Paranormal is actually the ones that will be doing the tours and setting everything up, helping with the investigation, so they'll have all of their gear out there. And I'll tell you, Lyle and Sana, from Twisted Paranormal are fantastic to work with. Angel May, that runs the Exchange, absolute sweetheart. And there are some fantastic pieces of evidence that have come out of the Exchange Hotel. There's some fantastic stories from previous investigations, previous investigators. I have a terrific story from told directly to me from the chief of police when he went there on a burglary call from second floor motion detector going off. Middle of the night, nobody in the building. But it's a fantastic location. It's up in Gordonsville, Virginia, which is, I think, about 15 miles outside Charlottesville. So definitely check into that. You can go to theexchangehotel.com. You can also jump over, check out Twisted Paranormal Society on Facebook. For June 20th, 8 p.m. to midnight, $25 a person. It's well worth it to go through the Exchange Hotel. Small bit of history. This was a Civil War hospital. It was a receiving hospital, one of, I believe, only 11 total in the country. Now, the difference between a Civil War hospital and a Civil War receiving hospital, it took in injured from both sides of the battle. So it was actually guarded by Union and Confederate soldiers pretty much standing side by side to protect the building from attack. Probably one of the only places that you could have relied on at that time to be on either side and not get killed from the other side. So some of the photographs that they've got, the historic photographs, one of the surgeon's gloves are still on location. The surgeon's notes are still on location. So there's definitely some fantastic trigger objects there. I've got some fantastic evidence out of there myself. Just a great location. The Exchange Hotel, Gordonsville, Virginia, June 20th, 8 p.m. to midnight. Check it out, folks. Now, do we want to go on to another bent and twisted discussion, or do you want to go to what we actually wanted to talk about, being evidence reveal?
I do have one thing that I did see that my good friend Aaron Marie Hogan from the upcoming production, as it seems to have gotten possibly to that point after a conversation today, but we'll talk about it later. A movie called Dwelling, which is it's a movie basically pretty much by investigators. So it doesn't have all the hokey, stupid crap that, like, Paranormal Activity has. It's actually done well there. And if you watch the trailer, it's on the Kickstarter. So if you go on the Kickstarter, watch Dwelling, you can. They talk about the cast and crew. There hasn't technically been anything shot yet, which is what the Kickstarter is about. But love the concept, love the idea. Some amazing, amazing people. Anna Marie Hogan is in it. She was actually in Paranormal Entity, which was a kind of a takeoff on Paranormal Activity, but that was done on purpose. And in my opinion, it's actually better. But Devaney Penn, the Queen of Scream, is in that. And just a bunch of great people that are working on that project. And I think that that's something that we should all stand behind, which is why I'm promoting it so hard, because they are investigators who are the ones that are making the film to make it proper entertainment along with accuracy of what we all experience. Instead of it being a film of somebody that is going, purchases a house and then is tormented by spirits, they're purposely purchasing the house because it's haunted. Dennis, we got to talk to an amazing, amazing individual who's in the film also, Mushaka. Great, great guy. Arlen is one of the producers on the film. She's doing an amazing job. Speaking of which, there was one, she sent me a link to one today, and after the show, I want you to check it out on YouTube. Let me look up the name exactly so I don't get it wrong, so everybody can check it out, because the promo looks really, really cool for it, and this was just something that they just did for no reason. It's called Scope of Practice, S-C-O-P-E of Practice. It's a 2-minute trailer that's on YouTube, and it's damn intriguing. I would say, like, personally, when I watched it, the first thing I thought of was, instead of doing it as a film, what would be really, really cool is if they did it as a series on TV. Because there's so many possible cliffhangers, it just makes it really damn cool, and we watched it at work with everybody today, and everybody said the same thing, like, no, this shouldn't be done as a movie. This should be done as a series. But, I don't know. So everybody check it out, Scope of Practice. Other than that, so July 28th, Missouri State Hospital, Aaron and Ideal Management, there's still a couple tickets left. To go to a ghost hunting event at Missouri State Hospital, which that is definitely one place I really, really wanted to go.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if you save your pennies, you can get pretty much anywhere you want. Better save a lot of pennies. But still, yeah, it does look like it's going to be a fantastic movie. It's actually going to be a full feature film, not just one of the typical, not just a YouTube movie. It's going to be an actual feature film.
Yeah. So the Kickstarter is up, and if anybody wants to go and pop in some little bit of corn, it's not much, $10, $20, up to $10,000. That there's a couple different denominations that you can do, but I think being all in the industry as we are, it'd be nice to see something represented properly on the big screen other than the crap that we get to deal with.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, apparently. I was waiting for a follow-up comment. I was just going to sit and wait. See how long it took you.
Yeah, it would have taken me a moment because I got distracted. Damn it. It happens often. Yeah, I don't understand.
Ooh, a squirrel.
Look, a squirrel. Yep, it's definitely one of those nights.
Evidence review.
Evidence review. Evidence reveal.
Reveal. I'm sorry.
Well, let's do this. I'm going to throw the phone number out there. If team leaders or anybody want to call in and discuss points of view also on it, feel free. Hit us at 323-580-5703. 323-580-5703. Now, like I was saying, we investigated the location from the 1760s. I had done a remote view on this location 2 weeks before actually going. According to Howard, who leads up All Seeing Paranormal Society, I hit 100% on my remote. They had already done previous investigations there, so they had EVPs to back up what I put in. Basically, well, I had him take notes, so we referenced it as the report. At any rate, one of the things that we captured, we actually had two DVR systems running, so we had eight cameras going. It was kind of overkill for the location, but what the hell. At any rate, there was one of the DVR cameras on the side of the house that is basically set up towards this little outside patio slash storage area. Ryan, myself, and another investigator were 75 feet or better from the house outside. There's a old family cemetery over that way, and we were headed over to check that out. Well, we actually heard a door open, close, turned and looked, didn't see anybody. Almost immediately, we get a call on the radio asking us if we had been over in that area, if we opened the door, they knew we were outside. And it came from the two young ladies that were in that room right around the corner running the comm. The evidence that was actually captured shows a storm door. Now, bear in mind, there's virtually dead still breeze, real slight breeze. A storm door opened. There's a full glass see-through storm door closed. Nobody, you know, we didn't even see an arm. I mean, you know, the DVR camera captured this whole thing. You could see the whole door. You could actually see the door frame on the other side of the door through the glass. Now, had somebody from the inside opened that door, you would have seen an arm, you know. We show up very bright, very white, and almost glowing under DVR camera, night vision. And you could see the door frame on the other side of this storm door. So there was nothing, nobody there that opened this door. Definitely impressed the property owner. Some of the audio that was captured, heard children laughing, heard children playing. One that I thought was really cool, and I don't know if I have it in my email, but I can't get to that. But it actually called me out, and I mean the strangest, loudest call-out I've ever heard. You hear one young lady say, "Do it again now." And then you hear a sound like a small girl going, kind of a sing-songy voice, "Okay, Dennis." I mean, it is just this loud voice that goes right over top of all of us that were talking. But it was a fantastic piece, and of course, you know, as soon as we played that back to the property owner, her eyes got huge. I don't have a copy of it simply because it's not from my team. I have it that was sent to me on my phone. Now, it was captured on Amber is a member of ASPS. She just hit the voice recorder on her iPhone and left it laying on the table in the comm while she was running video camera and everything. And that's what it was captured from. I did email it to myself. I did open it up in Audacity and look at it through. There's a setting on Audacity called Spectrogram that shows the spectrum that this was captured in. And you see our voices across this level. And then going off the chart, unless you expand the hell out of the chart, it goes way above our vocal levels. So that was definitely a cool piece of evidence that was captured. And, of course, as soon as we played it for the property owner, she kind of looked at me, what the hell was that? I really don't know. But now, one of the things that I did notice, I think every team should have a good pair of over-the-ear headphones that they can hand to the property owner, the client, whatever you want to reference them as. I know a lot of us now use nothing more than the little plug-in earbuds. Think about it. You're asking them to plug something into their ears that's been in your ears. A lot of people are kind of freaked out by that. So make sure to carry a small can of Lysol or something so you can show them disinfecting the earbud or the headphones and use over the ear. It's not quite as personal and invasive. Just a good point for you to think about. What's your opinion?
Of the earphone thing or of the rest of it?
Oh, go on with all of it. What the hell?
Well,
you're going to watch in the video, and you're welcome to.
I haven't seen it. I can't question the video.
Oh, okay.
I
just figured you would go, well, what about this and what about that? And did you think about this and did you think about that?
No, I will go through that because I think that was a good conversation of the fact that how much I do trust you, but there's been times on both yours and my end to where we've had the, I just can't believe that everything is 100% like, oh, well, okay, did you try this? Did you try that? Did you try this? Did you try that? So, yeah, I do question stuff like that, even by somebody that I trust 100% wholeheartedly. And I don't think that enough people do. And you don't take offense by it.
No.
But just, yeah,
no,
okay,
I
want to
welcome it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I welcome it because, well, I look at it two ways. One, it keeps me on my toes. If you ever get offended when someone questions a piece of evidence that you put out there, unless they're rude about it, now, obviously, if they're rude about it, I don't blame you for getting upset. But if they go, well, hey, what about this aspect, or did you think about this, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there are things that we can't explain on video. There are things we can't explain on audio. And maybe somebody has come across something close to it and has an idea on it. So, you know, hear them out. But also, if you have doubts on something, don't be rude about it. Just go, okay, well, here's a possibility. What do you think?
Yeah, or, hey, here's a suggestion or something that you try and go and cancel this out. Oh, you did? Okay, cool. Oh, you didn't? No, well, maybe you want to go back and look at it again and revisit it. It's just that, and you and I, and you and I do it all the time. If I send you audio stuff, you question the hell out of me about it, and just to make sure that this is how I would have done it, this is how I would have looked at it. Did you do this? Yeah, I did. Oh no, you know what? I didn't do that. Well, yeah, let me go check it out again. Not, oh, you stupid ass. Like, no, what a joke, or, you know, like anything like that. We don't do that. And it seems to work out quite well. But
yeah, now, one thing, and we did discover this early on in our friendship, we were sharing audio evidence through email.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, I would have this fantastic piece of what I felt was fantastic piece of EVP evidence. I would email it to you, and you're going, I don't hear a damn thing. I've listened on, you know, my fantastic clips. I've listened on earbuds. I've listened on speaker. I don't hear a damn thing. Then when we started uploading things to SoundCloud, which I have, I don't know, a dozen EVPs posted to SoundCloud. So go to SoundCloud, look up CPR Dennis. You'll find the things that I have. Matt has SoundCloud also. I'm not sure if he has evidence up there. I know he's got a lot of singing up there.
I have evidence. No, do I? I don't know if I do. I need to upload that.
But, yeah, I've uploaded a good bit of evidence. Most of it, well, a lot of it is, me getting, there's a couple that they sound like team members, but I can assure you they're not. And if you actually, I don't know if you can download from SoundCloud or not, which would be really cool if you can. But you're welcome to grab them, run them through, you know, any piece of software that you want to verify that, hey, this is just what Dennis said, which the best piece that I've got and the loudest, clearest, cleanest response I've ever had on an EVP. I can't discredit it. I mean, I've run it through software that tells me what spectrum it was captured in, and it's outside the range of human speech. So, I'll tell you, matter of fact, I've got that one on the board.
Oh, God.
No.
It's not that one?
No, I'll play that one later, just in case Bruce is listening. But it's this one, it's only 6 seconds long. I'll play it twice, see what you think. Now, you'll hear me speak, and then you'll hear a response. And I promise you, it's not a team member.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
The deep voice at the very end of that. Now, the high pitch that you hear through the whole thing, that's all the damn crickets. Holy Christ, was that place loaded with crickets. But that deep voice at the end, I assure you, was not a team member. I've looked at it through the spectrograph. I cannot, in any way, shape, or form, count that being actual somebody talking that we could not see, that sounds like they are right beside the recorder. So, and that's what I'm getting at. And that one Matt actually questioned me on. He's like, are you sure it wasn't a team member? Yeah, I'm positive it was not a team member. Under my CPR Dennis on SoundCloud, you will hear, I forget the name of it, something like Rock Hall, Sony, Bull, or something like that. It's a minute and a half long, and it'll let you hear all three voices of the members that were right there. So, yeah, it's something I can't explain.
Getting back to the video and what we talked about the video, when you called me and you started talking, or we started talking about the screen door and, you know, pretty much everything involved. I mean, certain questions I was asking, okay, well, are you sure that it was, like, was it one of those twist ones and it was completely latched and nobody was opening a door to where it would be able to move and pull out, that it, you know, which will look like the handle's twisting, but it's actually just riding up on the catch point of it. And you were able to verify that that wasn't the case. All right, well, yes. What was the weather conditions that were out there? Like, I questioned you on a lot of stuff about it. I hadn't even seen the video. Just from what you described to me is the questions that popped in my head. Did you check this out? Did you look into this? Did you look into that? And it's not saying that, no, it's not real. It's just saying, hey, did you cancel out all variables? If not, you know, maybe if you were to say no to it, I know instead of being like, oh, well, you don't know because you didn't see it, you would actually said to me, oh, you know what? That's a good idea. Let me go back and check this out and see if I can figure that out. That got offended.
Well, one of the things that I'm going to do, after a review last night, we were invited back out in probably August. We will try to recreate that same exact, I'm going to run side-by-side video from the captured last time, trying to set my camera up on the new investigation and see if we can repeat that camera angle and see if we can repeat exactly what happened, you know, try all the things that we can do. I actually have a backpack blower. I think it puts out 210 mile an hour or something. So I'll blow on the door, which I know damn sure there wasn't 200 mile an hour winds that night. Like I said, Ryan, myself, and another investigator were outside walking over to the family cemetery portion. And it was quite chilly, but there was no wind. So, you know, that one pretty much rules that out. But I don't know. I mean, I can't come up with a logical. Being that it's a 1760s home, it's certainly not airtight enough that if you were to close the front door or any other door, it would be able to blow open the back door like that. And, you know, the storm door, even if we take the possibility that the storm door wasn't securely latched, the inside door, which was a heavy wooden door, was bolted simply because we had no purpose to go out that way. So I don't know. I truly can't explain it. It's one of those that's going to keep me stumped for a while, and I'll look through it another 20 times till I see if I can figure out anything on it.
Well, and the other thing, when it comes to a quote-unquote reveal, as these shows call it, for what it is, and Dennis, you're absolutely right. If it's something that you question, I mean, especially a piece of audio. If you question a piece of audio like, oh, well, I don't know what I hear, but I'm hearing this, don't play it. But it's, you know, unless you're and I'm a big fan of being truthful about, you know, the audio thing. If you hear it and it's like, you know, something where it sounds like human speech, you can play it amongst your group, but especially if it comes to a private residence, you got to remember, those people have to go to sleep that night. If you play a bunch of gibberish crap audio clips, that you can't discern what it's saying, and you've gone through and you've edited stuff and tried to bring it out more and this stuff and the other thing, it could be something environmental. Maybe you didn't test everything. But on a private residence, I will never release that because that family has to go to bed. First of all, they have anxiety before you even show up to show them what you found. And 99% of the people are hoping it's nothing. So if you just play a whole bunch of creepy, weird stuff to them, then you basically just ruin their night and the fact that they have to go to sleep knowing that there's these noises in the house that you don't know what they are.
Yeah, always make sure that if you're going to play something for them, make sure it's something worth a shit. And if, in the off chance, which we've spoken with Christina enough times, we've spoken with Bishop Long enough times, and you know, other demonologists, demons are not as prevalent as you may think. They're very few and far between. So if you go in there with, we kind of think this sounds demonic, have a plan in mind to help the family, not just give them the evidence and bug the hell out.
It's funny you should say that because that is the next thing that I wanted to bring up and talk about. Not people saying that somebody has a demon in their house, this, that, and the other thing. Doing it self-proclaimed. And Dennis, I think you know where I'm going with this.
I know exactly where you're going. I was going to be nice about it, but I won't drop a name. How's that?
Yeah, no, names are out of it. If you legitimately ask for help and it is supplied to you and it's ignored, and you continue to publicly ask for help and it's ignored, and it's by the people that you asked to have contacted because we know them, that's absolute bullshit. I'm sorry, you know, it's I'm not bothered by the fact that I was asked by it. I'm bothered that I asked for favors from other people. They provide the okay and the information to take time out of their lives, and then nothing. No contact, no anything. Like, what in the hell are you trying to do? Are you trying to create a dramatic situation to make yourself look vulnerable to see who's paying attention? Like, I don't get that at all. That seriously makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, the complaints have been this issue, that issue, this is going on, that's going on, oh my God, I need help. Well, I got a phone call asking me to take time out of my day to help this person. I contacted, left voicemail, can help, and was never contacted back. And it just apparently isn't that big of a deal, but then we're seeing still, oh my God, it's happening more, blah, blah, blah. I did, Matt. But, yeah, I mean, if you truly have issues going on and you reach out to people and ask for help, when they try to set you up with people to help you, reach out to the people that they've suggested you reach out to, especially after they contact you to help you, don't just ignore. So, I don't know.
Well, and that's the funny thing. It wasn't just you that I spoke with. It was other people that were asked to be contacted, and then I get in contact with them, and then I contact the person to say that, hey, I contacted them, and then they don't get contacted. I don't get it either.
Leaves me baffled. You know, if you truly need help, then reach back out to those that have offered to help you. Don't just keep posting random shit on Facebook that all hell's breaking loose and you don't know what to do. Here's an idea. Reach out to the people that reached out to you and offered you help, instead of just ignoring the voicemails and everything else. But I think it was more of a, I damn near want to say it's a publicity stunt, but hey, who am I to say? Just my opinion.
Could be. Who knows? Who knows?
Now, let's talk about something a little totally different than the paranormal. Let's go to something that is just kind of pissing me off lately. NBC 12, which is my local NBC news affiliate, the U.S. Patent Office canceled 6 Washington Redskins trademarks, saying they are disparaging to Native Americans. Here's your thoughts. Don't you think it was pretty damn disparaging to Native Americans way back when we slaughtered them and took their land?
Good.
When we traded a handful of useless beads and trinkets for large chunks of land. It's a little bit late, Uncle Sam and our federal government, to say what is disparaging to anybody. Don't get me into politics. We really don't want to go there. I just think this whole world's coming down to a bunch of whiny asses that want to whine and cry about something.
Well, to take it away from politics, but to agree with you, dude, I look at the way that I was raised and like just everything in my era of growing up. Kids are just way too damn coddled these days, and oh no, this is gonna hurt you. No, it was like, yeah, okay, I'll see you later. Just be home by sundown. You have to basically wear a fucking hockey goalie uniform to ride your bicycle.
Yeah. I remember riding in the beds of pickup trucks, sitting in the back seat of the family station wagon, facing the cars that were behind us,
exactly.
Making funny faces at the drivers and then making funny faces at us. Now, oh no, you can't do that. You have to sit forward. Your kid has to be X amount of weight before he can even get out of the booster seat. Which, hey, here's a thought. If he's in a booster seat, that raises his center of gravity, which means upon impact, there's potential that he flies better.
It's counterbalancing a catapult.
Yeah. I get a chuckle out of it. I get a huge chuckle. I was jumping off the garage at 8, 9 years old, shits and giggles, fun and laughs. I get a kick out of it. Now, I've seen the meme flying around that, if you had to be home when the street lights came on and blah, blah, blah. I grew up in a small town.
You didn't have street lights.
Not that I recall in the area that we lived. But I knew I had to be home when the neighborhood kids started hollering. Because my mother would not step outside and holler, Dennis! I ain't hurting my throat for that shit. She was the first female coach of a little league baseball team in our town. Now, that was in 1976. First female coach in that town's little league history. So she had a whistle. When she would step out the door, blow the whistle, and you would hear kids down the line hollering, the whistle has blown. That was my come home time. I could go sit downtown and just watch traffic go and nobody said anything, or I didn't have to worry about getting kidnapped or mugged or any of that crap. It's just
Hold on.
Was it good for you?
Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together, and you come real close. Can you blow
my whistle, baby,
here we go.
Dennis and that.
I don't know where it is, no.
I'm betting you like
the bottom.
And I'm betting you love freak mode. And I'm betting you like girls to give love to girls and stroke your little ego. I bet you I'm guilty, your honor. That's just how we left in my
genre.
When the hell them paved the road wider. There's only one blow and one rider. I'm a damn shame, order more champagne. Pull a damn hamstring, trying to put it on ya. Let your lips spin back around, come up. Slow it down, baby, take a look. You blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby,
I'm frozen.
Shawty don't even know she can get in it for the low. Told me she not a pro, it's okay, it's under control. Show me soprano, cause girl, you can handle. Baby, we start something, you come up in bar club. Girl, I'm new, swimming, my Bugatti the same nose. Show me your perfect pitch, you got it, my banjo. Talented with your lips like you blew out a candle. So I'm using, know you can make it whistle with the music. Hope you ain't got no issues, you can do it. Even if it's no bitch, you never lose it. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it. And we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Cause I love-
welcome back.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That would be a prime example why Matt is not allowed to play with the soundboard. Matt, what is the name of that song?
That would be Whistle by Flo Rida. my device done froze, so it wouldn't let me end it. But that was our musical break.
Yeah, apparently that was, well, I wish I had gotten a chance to go potty. But Flo Rida is not on the soundboard where it's supposed to be, therefore I could not find it.
It's all the way at the bottom above the Zach Bagans ones.
Oh, look, they put it in, Whistle, Flo Rida.
Found it.
Whistle. Yeah. Yay, we found it. Oh, shit.
That was our musical intermission for the evening.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the musical interlude of Full Spectrum Radio. Wow. And see, that's part of the problem with the soundboard. Not everything is in place where it belongs or should be. Too many people are able to go in, upload, add sound to the boards. So, yeah, that makes it entertaining for us. But, hey, we do have, what happened here? Back up. Ta-da. Ta-da. We do have a caller, and this will tie directly into our earlier conversation where I was telling you folks about June 20th at the Exchange Hotel. Lyle, are you with us, my friend?
Yeah, man. How you doing, bud?
I'm wonderful now that Matt's toy is locked up and he can't touch the soundboard anymore.
Yeah, I came up to the upstairs to try to listen in. I heard all that crazy music playing.
That was just a little bit of Flo Rida, buddy. Just a little bit of Flo Rida.
Flo Rida.
You know,
right.
That's how we roll.
That's right.
At least when we let Matt play with the soundboard.
Okay. This will make it a little bit better for the gentleman involved in the conversation this evening. It's a song about blowjobs. So.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
All right. Back to your regularly scheduled debauchery.
Yes. Yes. Well, folks, back to the quality entertainment and programming that you've grown to expect from Full Spectrum Radio.
That's
right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you're still sitting back doing well. You were sitting back just a few minutes ago doing evidence review from your previous weekend at the Exchange. Anything exciting to tell us?
It was okay, but we had a pretty good session, if you've ever been there before, which I know you have, Dennis. The depot was really active for us that night. They've been in there tearing it all apart again from the Halloween event stuff that they've had it set up for, so they tore it all apart because they're going to remodel it. But we had a lot of shadow activity in there that night. It's a lot different than what we've ever had. But it was pretty interesting. I'm not going to say it was a full-loaded night full of activity, but the depot really didn't let us down. So we had the plasma ball flying in there.
Oh, cool.
Do you have any luck with that yet?
Not yet. I haven't seen anything other than us touch it so far. We were doing some test play with it this past Saturday night, with touching it, seeing how it would react with some of the equipment. And it seemed like when you actually touch that ball that it sent out a lot of energy towards your equipment. So that was something we were testing to see how it would do. But other than that, no, nobody's played with the plasma ball yet. Hopefully one day it'll work, and hopefully that's just not a, you know, we did it on the investigation we had with Dennis when he was with us, and that was the first time. So, you know, we're hoping that it's going to work one of these days. We keep the camera on it just in case.
Well, most definitely. You know, it just shows that y'all are thinking outside the box, try something new.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we do what we've always done, we'll always get what we always got. And it is no progress made.
That is correct.
You know, folks like yourself, and I know I try new shit all the time. You know, I try it with the luminous chemical glow sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to get those to move, try to get them to swing, try to get anything I can out of it.
Right.
So, you know, it's being, something different.
Yeah, it's being creative.
And part of the reason why I like the Illumi sticks or whatever you want to call them, the glow sticks, there's nothing electrical about them.
Right.
Therefore, you know, with no electricity to it, just a, you know, wholly contained chemical reaction, I don't have to worry about contamination from another device or, you know, like EVP recordings could be, you know, God knows what else going on. You know, the SB7, they say it could be a, you know, truck driver 20 miles away that you just happen to grab.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing natural that I'm aware of can screw with a glow stick.
That's why I like to pull out, you know, the bell that I carry around. That's why I like to pull that out every so often and ask it to ring my bell. And they like to, the team like to give me a hard time about that. But you know, that's my confirmation, man. There's nothing electric to it. It's just a bell I hang on something and say, go ring the bell. Let me know you're here. You know, once I hear that bell ring, you know, that's going to be true confirmation for me. So,
have you got your bell around you somewhere there, Lyle? I'm hearing a bell ring.
No. No, I don't have a bell around me. That's packed away.
I hear a bell ring.
You trying to find
kidding.
The music?
That's me screwing with you.
Hey, Dennis, I don't know if you're looking, but there's one thing that we have to do because it's been a while. You looking at the board?
He's doing something on the board.
Well, I believe they're just listeners. If you're called in and you'd like to speak with us, please make sure to press 1, ladies and gentlemen. It throws up an icon on my board so I can understand what's going on. If you're just listening in, we're more than happy to sit back and listen in.
No, I'm talking about the last one, which is, hi, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
But, yes, I don't recognize all numbers right off the bat, so forgive me, folks.
Right.
But, now, oh, great, this will be my log, dude. A beaver was upset about something and went after him. A kayaker was knocked out of his kayak by a beaver. See, that's going to be my damn luck, because this weekend I plan on putting my kayak in the water. I haven't had the chance to get out in a while. I guess you could say at that point, a beaver got me wet. I was attacked by a wet beaver. Put on boom.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jeez, Dennis.
Let the begin. So, hey, I do want to ask you though, Lyle.
Yeah.
How many folks did you have show up for the tour and investigation at the exchange over the weekend?
The first night we had, let's see, as far as guests go, we had 18, I believe, the first night. We're already at, for this Friday night, we're at 18. We're looking to get two more people. But she's had a good response so far with it. So, and, you know, when we just thought that, you know, trying to help them out as much as we could, you know, because they can use all the money they can for restorations and stuff. And we thought that, you know, if we would try to come over and help her out, that it would go well. And it's been great so far. I'm looking forward to another sellout here this Friday night with it. And, you know, it was only supposed to be 4 hours Friday night, I think. I know we didn't get out of there till almost 1 o'clock, and Angel said she didn't get out of there till about 2:30. So, and then we investigated the next night, so it was a pretty long weekend. But
most definitely.
But it was well worth it, though. I mean, it's most of the people don't have equipment. They don't, you know, they're just their curiosity's there. So we just love being a part of that, and you know, showing them what we do. I took them and kind of, before everything started, and had kind of like a little comedy session with them about equipment and things that have happened, and you know, and they just loved it. So, so I'm looking forward to doing it again this Friday night. So,
yeah, well, I do want to thank you immensely for the invite last weekend to join you.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, I already had things booked, and ironically, I had done a remote view for another team here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were headed out, it was either Friday or Saturday. And with about an hour's notice, they're like, hey, by the way, since you were so spot on with that remote, if you want, you're more than welcome to join us if you can be in the West End by such and such time. It was out of the question, but...
Right.
Yeah, for the same night, I was invited on two different investigations. However, this weekend, I don't have anything planned. If you would like, I will bring my gear and I will help with tours, whatever. You know,
sure.
If you,
you
want to
come up?
Members to lead.
I think we're... you know, we're going to kind of do it as kind of like a little station set up, you know, where one person runs like the main hotel, or a couple people run the main hotel, then a couple of people run the depot, the, you know, the slave quarters. That'd be awesome. If, you know, if you come out, we'd definitely love to have you. That's for sure. The people are they're looking forward to being able to do it with people that know what they're doing. And that's what makes it feel so good, is that they're, you know, they want to learn from you. So, and that's what I liked about it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I've done a couple of different tours like that where I led groups. Henricus Park is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic location. You know, I help lead the tours, give some of the historical knowledge about the place that I've developed, you know, shared some of what's happened with me in the past at that location. You know, I'd love to help your team with the exchange. I love the exchange. It's just a fantastic place. The energy there is so the energy is just palpable. I mean, you can feel it. You know.
Oh yeah,
you know they're around you.
Oh yeah, definitely. And we had a little instance before everything got started Saturday. My wife Tana, and you know what she's been going through with some of the things that you know. I'd said, well, maybe Dennis can train you a little bit on it, but she left herself wide open before, and something the way Angel said it, you know, that's been happening a lot here lately. So something decided to jump inside of her and kind of really sent her off in a rage. It was just out of the blue. And but you know, we ended up getting everything worked out, getting her calmed down, and then she was fine the rest of the night. Once Angel told her to shut those doors and keep them closed, then everything went fine from that point on. You know, it's all new to her, and she's finding this out, and, you know, so she's just got to take her time What's that? And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's. I definitely need to help her do a little spiritual guarding, I guess.
Right. She's not prepared for what's happening, and she's leaving herself wide open. And but I think she learned.
Definitely need to spend a little time with her.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that there are a couple of spirits at the exchange that are rather strong.
Right.
You know, the one story that I related to you, and I'll go ahead and share with all the listeners. The chief of police there, prior to him being chief of police, relayed a story to me of a nighttime stop that they had to make there. I believe he said it was about 2:30 in the morning. They had a interior motion alarm went off. They met the key holder. He and another officer responded, went in the back way, which is like the first floor. When you go in the front, you actually go in on the second floor.
Right.
The chief and the other officer both said that they heard footsteps on the second floor above them. And as they turned around the corner through a doorway, they looked straight back to a short hallway that goes into another room. He said from about 5 feet away from him, he saw a full-body individual running at him. He said, "I could see this man's eyes." He said, "We both had our hand on our weapon because, you know, it's 2:30 in the morning. You don't know what the hell you're going to run into. But this thing came at us so fast, we never got the chance to draw our weapons, and it ran straight through us." We looked at each other, looked where it came from, looked where it went, looked back at each other, and he said, both of us said, "I ain't seen a fucking thing, man." So there are some strong energies in that location.
There are.
So.
And they are, and I don't know that if the energy there is changing a little bit, because I know that they, Angel and Chris, both said that they've noticed that there's been some more strong activity with, you know, people trying to, toppers trying to jump inside of them and stuff like that. So, I just would tell everybody to kind of protect themselves, you know, before they even go there now, really. I don't know if they're getting aggravated or what with a lot of the stuff that's gone on there with the changing around, you know, the construction stuff that's been done. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, you know, All-Seeing Paranormal Society had gone up there a few weeks ago to help do some cleaning and everything and some reorganizing. They've got a lot of remodeling that's going on. So, you know, that, and we've heard, you know, countless stories of locations that, you know, they start saying that, hey, as soon as we started doing cleanup or we started doing remodeling or anything, activity just skyrocketed. So it makes me wonder if the different energy that we put in, the different tools and everything that we utilize in that location to do. Now, I'm a contractor, so I'm referencing
right.
me.
Right.
You know, plus the energy that we personally take in. You know, we're, now typically I run wide open when I'm working. So, you know, it could very well be that we are just, well, to, for lack of better term, pissing off the energies that are there, and they're finding whatever way they can to fight back. And with the energy that we're expelling in that location, maybe that's giving them power to be able to do something.
Right. That could be, yeah, definitely. I know that the, you know, the spirits are very active there early. You know, you don't have to be there till early in the morning to get stuff. You could be there, you know, you could be there late afternoon, which they say a lot of times between 4 and 6, it gets, it's the most active time they're at the place. So, you know, it, we try to get in there as early as we can to see if we can't get some stuff. Some of our best times we've had have probably been around 8 to 10 o'clock at night there.
You know, I picked up an absolutely awesome EVP off my video camera out by what is believed to be the hanging tree.
Right.
And, you know, typically a video camera doesn't pick up a whole lot, but I got a fantastic, it's either help or hello. Can't 100% make it out, but it was fantastic. So that was just something cool that, you know, we had go on. But I love the energy in that place. But it is potential, I guess, that with you know, the tours, the now also there was a minor earthquake not too terribly far away. Perhaps that changed it. We've had a lot of pretty serious storms roll through the area over the last few weeks, too.
Yeah. Actually, Friday night of the tour, when we first started getting the people going around doing the tour of the exchange is when that storm hit over there. So it was pretty active there for about probably an hour to an hour and a half of just pure thunderstorm, lightning, carrying on stuff, you know. So, you know, I feel like that maybe it helped to charge the air a little bit that night because it was everybody enjoyed it. Everybody had some kind of experience there. So that's why I'm looking forward to it again this Friday night.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure I've got fresh batteries and everything and, fresh batteries in myself.
That's right. Yes.
Just bring your card.
Yeah. Actually, she has one.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, she has one, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool location. And now, for those that aren't aware, like I said, the Exchange Hotel was pre-Civil War. You know, the fact that it utilized surgical suites for both sides of the Civil War and was guarded by boats. You know, I think that, like I said earlier, it's fairly unheard of that a location would be, quote-unquote, what they called a receiving hospital.
Right.
But I've seen photographs. The rafters in the what they call the depot building are about 12 feet tall or 12 feet in the air. I've seen photographs where they had bodies stacked side by side, floored to the rafters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, as you're aware, they've moved that building back about 25 feet. It used to sit so close to the track that if you literally leaned your head out, the train would take your head off.
Wow.
But they would just slide the side door of it open, slide the train door open, and move the bodies in. What had been explained to me when I went through and did a tour 2 years ago, I believe, if you were almost dead and they didn't take long enough to check for a good pulse, you may be thrown in the body stack, and you may actually expire right there.
Yeah, they toss them in the back.
Yeah, they just threw you into the body stack. One of the, I'll go ahead and say his name. One of the stories that Chief Clay gave me was another call in the middle of the night to go out to the depot for, now the house that sits, 150, 200 feet behind the depot building. The family that was there at the time called and reported hearing running and yelling in the depot building. So again, he responded, did not have backup that night. Had the key holder meeting. He went in. When you first walk into the depot building, there's a small kind of like a reception area, I guess. Then you turn right, and it goes into the main like warehouse area. He said he had stepped into that, did a full sweep flashlight, weapon drawn. He said, I learned from the last time, not that I can shoot a ghost, but I learned I'm not going to get shocked like that again without my damn weapon out. He said he stepped into the big room about three steps, heard footsteps running above him, and looked up and saw a man running across the rafters that are about 2 feet apart, and there are no flat boards laying there. It's just open rafters.
Right.
He said he saw him for about 6 feet, and then it just disappeared. He said, once again, my report said, nothing found.
I just sent you a picture. I messaged you a picture, Dennis, from what used to be considered the surgical unit on the third floor.
Right.
So it's on a Facebook message there. You'll see the one of the pictures that we captioned. You should take a look at the mirror and you tell me what you think you see in it.
Well, I would have to ask, could it be a light reflection off of a team member, one of the tour guides? I mean, I certainly see a full shadow over there. It doesn't overlay the mirror frame. It's only visible in the mirror.
Right.
So I'm wondering did you have flash come off the camera?
No, we actually, the two that were taking the picture were in the doorway. One of my investigators and I went in and tried to actually recreate it. And if you had a full, with him, if you picked him up in the mirror like that, you saw a full, you don't have that see-through like you see right there.
Right.
And Angel thinks that that's the actual surgeon from, he's hanging on the wall there. I can't remember his name. But I know she posted that on her actual website that she's got. It's just, it's weird. I have two pictures. I didn't send you the other one. The picture that was taken before and then this picture. And the girls were in the same spot. There was nothing there, and then that was there. And they were done like, boom, boom, really. But, yeah, there was nobody in the room. And if there was anybody in the room, you would see them actually in the mirror from the test that we did. So that's actually just a pure shadow in the mirror itself. It's weird.
Yeah, that's definitely pretty fascinating. I'm going to try to... Yeah, it's not going to let me. Can you send that to Matt as well?
Yeah, I was trying to look to see. I know I've messaged Matt before. I was going to send it to him. I'll send it to him here real quick.
Yeah, that's definitely an awesome-looking picture. Definitely thought-provoking. Now, I know one of these stories is at the second-floor landing or right inside the front door. Like I said, that's second level. There was reportedly a young lady that committed suicide in that room or in that, foyer.
Yeah. The nurse.
And there was...
Like at 9:15.
Right about 9:15, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The report is that you can still catch residual gunshot sound at about that same time. Do you set up a recorder at that area each time?
We were actually right there in that area at 9:15. So I never heard anything audibly, or I never picked up anything. I was listening with my headphones that night, and I never picked up anything out of the ordinary. So I'm going to go back and review again just to make sure. That's why I was trying to hit some of that stuff tonight, and then I looked at the clock, and I was like, oh, my, it's already 10 o'clock. I let the time get away from me.
So is there, were you watching Planet of the Apes during the during that photo or no?
Do what?
I said, were you watching Planet of the Apes?
Planet of the Apes?
It kind of looks like one of the chimpanzees from the movie.
Yeah. it's a weird shot. When I gave it to them and, you know, all the background stuff that they have, and I think there's a picture of the surgeon up there on the third floor now, and I just cannot remember his name. I just looked at it here a few minutes ago when I was doing some review. But they seem to think that that's who it is that made a little guest appearance in the mirror there. But, you know, like
Matt,
I said, we went...
the same thing I was. It kind of looks like a slightly disfigured head. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. My first thought was kind of looks apish as well.
Right.
Well, let me see. You guys talk amongst yourselves. Let me check this out. So,
what?
Yeah, just do what you're doing with the conversation, and I'll be back in a moment.
You got to review a little bit.
Yeah, he's probably going to go open it up on a piece of software and try to expand upon it. And
oh, yeah.
That's just what we do.
That's correct. That is correct.
Now, one of the things that has always stuck with me during the information that I've found out about the exchange, it's believed that there are as many as 5,000 buried on the land around there.
Yeah, there's a lot. I thought I saw a figure earlier. Some of the video stuff that we did little B shots around because we're going to put an episode together of this one. And I know that I saw a number of like 900, and they actually showed how the mounds of the bodies were around. And then they had, of course, to be relocated off of the property. But, yeah, I don't know the full figure of how many were buried there at one time.
And for some reason, the number 5,000 kind of sticks in my head.
Right, it probably is. What I looked at might have just been referring to something else in one area.
Yeah, like I said, that could be wrong, but, you know, when you think about the number of casualties that came through, because it was one of the only receiving hospitals, and you had some pretty major battles.
Right.
Not far from there.
Right.
And one of the photographs that I've seen shows now the second floor, right hand two rooms were the surgical rooms.
Uh-huh.
That's my understanding.
Right.
One of the photographs was body limbs stacked to the window, where they would sever the arm or whatever as they needed and just chuck it out the window.
Yeah.
Just gruesome.
Yeah, just gruesome is right. But I know we were talking to them, you know, in that particular room, the surgical room, and, you know, just trying to relate. And, you know, and I, you know, came across and said, you know, we got soldiers that come back from war today that have lost limbs and stuff like that. But they probably, you know, surgical-wise with the medicines and stuff like that, they didn't go through probably what these guys did, getting their arms hacked off.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, without medicine, so...
A carpenter's saw and a bullet to bite.
Right, and the bullet. It's crazy.
Yeah, and then...
Hey, Lyle, real quick, who took this photo?
This one was actually taken by my wife. There was actually two people taking pictures at the same time. But they're both standing in the doorway of that room, and nobody's in the room with them at all. It's just the two of them.
They just didn't see him.
Yeah, they just didn't see him.
They just didn't see him.
That's correct. And, you know, what was so weird is this was our first investigation we ever did there, and I was getting together a little piece because we were going to be speaking at the exchange, the Paracon at the exchange, the first one they were doing. So I went and picked out pictures, and believe it or not, I must have overlooked this picture. That's when I found it. It was like 6-7 months later that I found this picture, just going back and reviewing my stuff again. How I missed it, I have no idea, because I saw it right away when I saw it that time.
I'm doing some stuff on my end here. Give me like another minute or two, and I'm going to shoot both of you over some photos. And pretty much all it is one that's kind of cool, but no, I don't want to do that. One thing added to each photo, and all I'm doing is changing the media behind it.
Okay.
But yeah, this is some pretty crazy shit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I haven't opened it up and tampered with it. I simply clicked on it and looked at it. I would say that's definitely not a reflection.
Right. It's just because of the see-through capability of it. And
yeah.
Like I said, we tested photo frames. I had Vicky go to one of our investigators, go stand in the area that would cast a reflection close enough to that. But you would not see through him like that if it was somebody standing over there. You've got a full shot of him, pretty much. We tried to debunk that as best we could, and we just couldn't do it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I seem to be such a great magnet for him. I say we do a EVP session in that area.
And see what we get. Well, see, here's the issue. This was back in February of 2012. Okay. Now that room right there, that mirror is not in that room anymore. They've turned that into like a school room up there. I don't know, and I don't think they have that mirror up anymore for some reason. I've tried to look and find it, but I didn't see it this past weekend.
I wonder if perhaps it would be in the storage area or something.
Yeah, it could be. We'll look around and see if we can't find it. I wish I had the other picture. The other picture that was taken before this, there's absolutely nothing in it. You see the stuff that's there, like the pictures hanging on the wall, absolutely nothing. And then the second one, boom, there it was. So.
That was definitely an awesome picture. And now you said this is up on the exchange.
This was up on
website?
The third floor. Yeah. Oh, well, at one point I saw where she had it as part of her, but she had it really zoomed in really close. I don't know. I haven't been to their website for a while. I know it was on there at one point.
Yeah, I'd love to see that one back up there simply because it will it'll get some attention.
Right.
Well, I just created a group between the two of us, and I want to send you...
three of us, Matt.
No, the two of you, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
So, between myself and the two of you.
Chicago education.
So,
All right, I'll actually send you the first picture. I just found the first picture as well. That was done over two consecutive pictures.
Take a look at that one that I just sent.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely pretty cool.
But here's the awesome one. So all that was is, okay, because I'm doing this for my phone, is I'm taking, all I did was put the original photo and switch it to negative, where it reverses everything. So you're going to lose the source in the face, and obviously your wife's hands are now, painted black. This one really intrigues me. Keep in mind from the photo that you sent me to the one that, the negative one that I just sent you.
Right.
This one is ridiculous.
Redunculous.
Oh, the one that you're sending?
Yes.
The second one?
Whoa.
The reason that that one is ridiculous is if you follow the points on you lose the actual, the frontal portion of it.
Right.
But the rear still extends to where you can see the bump of the head and you can see the back. Then everything else has disappeared.
Right.
That's in Sketch, which that focuses on solid media grayscale. That's how they get the Sketch edit thing on photos. It's solid media grayscale. Well, that is showing up as solid, and there's no distortion in that back line. If you zoom in real, real close, you can see a distortion around the whole image, like almost like it was added to the photo, but it wasn't.
Right.
Because in both negative and the Sketch media, you can tell it's a defined line, which you don't get. If something's been added.
Right, I see what you're talking about, yeah.
And I am an anal son of a bitch, as you can see.
That's all right, that's awesome.
I've heard you like anal.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
But, and this is the crap that, and see, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the things that takes so much time for review.
Right.
You know, if you have 3 hours of audio to sit and listen to it, you better plan on, that recorder tells me I have 3 hours. You better plan on 4 or 5 hours.
Of course.
Constantly clipping, pasting into, well, I do it through Audacity, so I will copy and paste into a new window. I'll clear it up for my own. I never give up any altered evidence. If I can understand what it is crystal clear on the original, that's what I present to the client. If I can't understand it on the original and I have to alter it in any way to find what
right.
I thought I heard, that stays with me. And if I can't present it to them clear without having to manipulate it, I don't want to present it.
So would you present what Doc told you at Mount Eagle Farm that night?
Yes, most definitely. It's actually on my SoundCloud.
That's good. I'm glad.
And the awesome part is the fact that there is an EVP in there before the SP7.
Yep.
And that was the phenomenal part. And I mean, it's crystal clear. I asked for him to repeat what he had told me. Well, I think I said something to the effect of, just for those here that weren't there when I did my remote, and I was here a couple of weeks ago, which I was there, you know, in spirit, not physical, folks. Asking to repeat what he said just for them, and you hear a crystal clear EVP voice comes back and says, "Fuck you." It's phenomenal. And then the SD7 jumps in with flip flops. I'm like, what the hell? So, yes. Yes. That one is on my SoundCloud. I stand by that. There were seven people in the room, and the reason that I know that without a doubt is because he answered us and told us. We asked, actually, Lyle asked, how many people are in this room right now? And the SB7 responded and told us seven. And we actually counted at that point because we didn't know.
Yeah.
And there were seven of us in the room. So that was a fantastic SB7 session. And it certainly didn't hurt that we were out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Very little radio reception came at all. You see, there's not a damn thing in that picture.
Yeah, you see the one I just sent you?
Yes. And that's the one that I just commented. I don't see a damn thing in it.
Yeah, that's the second photo. I'm getting ready to send it to Matt as well, just so he can see it.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things is, you know, always never take a single photograph, folks. And you know, I always click. If I'm using my phone to take pictures, one of the things that I will do, I have an app that runs, and it will take five pictures half a second apart. And then I can look at all five pictures. And I know if there's anything that happened within that, I don't know, I think it takes it a second and a half, 2 seconds to do it. You know, if there's anything changed in that room, I will see it in one of those five photographs.
Right. And you see that photograph, the second one that I just sent. When we tested it, you actually had to be over near that blue curtain to get the reflection in that area.
And
we got about
7 minutes left, and Lyle, while I'm sitting here doing this, because now I'm all intrigued about all this.
Yes.
Look, you got an orb. How cute.
Oh, and that one? There's a little one in there.
Yeah, you know how I feel about orbs.
We both feel the same way. unless it is generating its own light.
Correct. That is correct.
I don't have any faith whatsoever in them.
It's a little nucleus. It's a cell.
Quit talking shit about the pictures. I'm down to 5 minutes, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Lyle, I'm going to let you go ahead since you've joined us for a few seconds, brother. Since you've joined us for the last half a minute. Throw out your plugs for Team Twisted, the exchange.
Yeah, this Friday night, we've got our second round of the tour public investigation at the Exchange Hotel in Gordonsville, Virginia. It's from 8 to 12. Let's say there was only two spots left, so they may actually be gone. I don't know. I'll find out in the morning. The next one we're going to do is July 18th. She's already been selling tickets for that one as well. And then we're going to be getting back there again. Gosh, I want to say that might actually be the last one that we do. We may get back there, August 1st, I'm sorry. We'll be doing one again August 1st there. So we've got three more to do to help try to raise money for them. Just if you get a chance, if you're in that area, come on out and help support the exchange. That's all I ask. That's all we're trying to do is help support them.
Yeah, most definitely. It's well worth it. So make sure to jump on Twisted Paranormal Society on Facebook. Check it out. Make sure to check out the Exchange Hotel on Facebook as well. I believe they have, what is it, theexchangehotel.com.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you check those out, folks.
Yeah, definitely. Anything you can do to help support them.
Yeah, definitely. They're trying to maintain a very historic site, so it's well worth the you know. And they are a 501c charitable organization, so it is a tax write-off for a donation, folks.
Right.
Plus, you can get out, you can do an investigation with Team Twisted, which is damn well worth it. Again, Lyle, thank you so much for the invitation to come join you guys. I'll be more than happy to come up and help lead tours, show off some of the tools and techniques and toys in the trade. But
well, we appreciate it.
Definitely looking
love
forward to it.
Okay, buddy. Yeah, I look forward
to you.
You
guys are a blast to hang out with.
we like to have fun. We're serious when it comes to the investigation, but you know beforehand we enjoy ourselves, and but when it's time to get the business done, boy, we turn into a nice hard working team. So I just appreciate everybody I've got on my team. They're great people, and I can't say enough about them.
Yeah, they're a great group. But let me throw our plugs out real quick. Hang with us for just a minute. I'll get our plugs out, and we'll go back to a little more conversation here. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is bringing us to another end of an episode of Full Spectrum Radio. Now, if you pull up the podcast or if you follow the link that got you here to begin with, you can catch us through the archive and listen to the remainder of the show. If you're actually dialed in and locked in on the board at 323-580-5703, you can remain listening to us live through archive while we continue to shoot the shit. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you next week on Full Spectrum Radio. You can find Matt and I at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, both at the Facebook and Twitter. You can find us at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers at .com and Facebook. Thank you again for joining us. It has been a blast, folks. But now we are with Lyle Lotz from Twisted Paranormal Society. Lyle, were you listening earlier when we were discussing evidence?
No,
reveal?
The reveal? No, I didn't get to hear that part. When I was watching a bunch of video stuff, and then I looked up and saw that it was almost 10 o'clock. I was like, holy cow, where did the time go? And that's why when I jumped on there, that's the first time I got on. So I think I missed that part of it.
Oh, all right. Well, one of the things that I brought up, I did a reveal with Ryan last night from All Seeing Paranormal Society.
Oh, yeah.
We did a 1760s location. Gosh, I don't know, month and a half ago, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic location. I had done a remote view on it 2 weeks prior, encountered a couple of pretty cool energies. The review that they had some fantastic stuff also. But one of the things that jumped out at me was he didn't have a set of over-the-ear headphones, and it dawned on me. That would be a fantastic point to make. When you go to do your reveal with a client, make sure to have a pair of over-the-ear headphones with you.
Oh,
make
yes,
sure
yeah.
to have a small can of Lysol or something that you can show the client. You know, you're disinfecting the headphones before they stick them on their ears.
Oh, yeah.
The lady that we met with, the property owner, really grateful on that.
Real quick, the other thing, too, is if you're buying a set of headphones, always buy a spare that you're not going to be using and sitting there sweating if it's a hot summer day and all that kind of stuff. Like, buy a separate set that you're going to let them use and just make sure you clean them every time.
Right.
Because, yeah, and it's a vote of professionalism as well. So you have all this great, awesome equipment, but you're going to rip the stuff that's out of your ears with your earwax on them and say, here, shove these in and listen. No.
Yeah, that was one of the points that he brought up, where she doesn't like the, you know, in earbuds.
Right.
Now, I love them for doing my review. And I have, believe it or not, I have just a cheap $15 set that has no active or passive noise canceling capabilities. I just think they're phenomenal. Here's a thought. If you go buy a $100, $200 set of noise canceling earphones or earbuds, what are you listening for when you're trying to catch EVPs? The white noise.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you buy earbuds or earphones that are designed to cancel that?
Right.
I never understood that. If you're one of the ones that has noise-canceling earphones, my apology. I don't mean to pick on you, but I love my little cheap set. It's actually the little cheap-ass set that I'm doing the radio show from.
Yeah, I've actually got mine on, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of on my earbuds that came with my phone. But
yeah,
I'm not passing them to you or Dennis saying, here, shove these in your ear.
Right. That's a great piece of good information there, to make sure that you show the clients that you're looking out for their well-being, so you don't get them your earwax.
I remember in school I used to use my earwax as ammunition. Just kidding.
All right, Mr. Disgusting.
Oh, my.
That was spitwad.
Yeah.
Shit.
Man.
So let me ask you. I'll talk to you privately about that. Just want to make sure on the times and so forth, and this weekend, you know, what night, what time, and everything, where you want to gather, or just meet there, or what. But I'll talk to you privately about that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll message you on that. Send you the info.
Sounds like the winner.
Sure.
Now, anything else you want to dive into, since we are on a wonderful anything goes night?
Yeah, actually, you mentioned Ryan. You talking about Ryan Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I got to talk with him the other night for 2 hours on his little broadcast. So that was pretty interesting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you got to talk to him on a freaking awesome paranormal show.
Yeah.
Or no,
that's
he,
first time.
He changed over Supernatural Talk.
Is that what he is now?
Yes, it's freaking awesome Supernatural Talk.
Right.
But, yeah, he's a pretty good guy. I hung out with him last night doing the reveal for the client. I apologize for not joining y'all on Monday night.
Oh,
I had my grandbaby here. And
we
made a discovery that I think kind of pisses my wife off. Now, I got home a little late from work. She's sitting on the couch, and I think Liam is starting to tease, poor little guy. He's 7 months old. I think he started teething. He was just throwing a shit fit. And, you know, here's my wife trying to bounce him on her lap and pat him on the back and anything she could do to get him to be quiet, you know, just to calm him down, get him to relax. I poked my head around the corner, and I'm like, hey, there's no time for grumpy time with Grandpa. He shut up for a moment, turned his head and looked at me and got this great big grin. And my wife's going, what the hell? Liam, you're making me look like I've never done this before. I got him over there all laughing and giggling, but I spent the whole time just chilling with him. And then once I got him to fall asleep, his favorite place to fall asleep is across my chest, laid back in the recliner. Yeah, I woke up and went, oh, crap, his show goes off air in about 5 minutes. So I didn't get the chance to call in.
Well, that's all right. He kept it going. I mean, it flowed pretty quick. So actually, I had Tana on there with me, so she hung in there. Normally at 10 o'clock, boy, she's done. But she hung in there till 11, so.
Oh, good deal. Now, what's one of the, like, hallmark investigations that your team's taking care of this summer?
Let's see here. Actually, with, you know, this was our last one this past weekend for until August 10th when we go to the clock tower in Stanton, Virginia. And then that following weekend, the weekend of the 16th of August, we'll be heading up to the Haldeman Mansion in, right outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to do that. And then we're going to be doing, at the end of September, we'll be doing the Madison Hotel in Madison, Virginia. And then the 18th of October, we're heading to Wilmington, North Carolina, to do the Battleship, North Carolina. So that's kind of what's on our schedule. In between, we're doing some events, Paracon again at the Exchange. We're going to be a part of a haunting at St. Albans on August 9th. And then we're going to head to Scarefest at 12th, 13th, and 14th of September to go there and try to, you know, do a little representation for Twisted Paranormal. Even though we're not a part of the event, we're going to try to do what we can. So.
Hey, can you guys hear me or no?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, Yep. Sweet. I've never used my clips for the show, and I didn't know if they actually worked with the microphone, but so I was testing this out and wanted to interrupt you to see if you could actually hear me, but otherwise, no, Dennis and I we're talking about Scarefest, and we're going to try and figure out what we can do, so we'll keep you posted on that.
Okay, yeah, please do. Yeah, it could be a great weekend.
We have a plan. No, we definitely have a. We're trying to get in to do something there. Just need the official contact name. And...
Oh, okay. It's kind of like a broadcast from there.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, we had so damn much fun doing the live broadcast from Parafest up in Bethlehem that we're going to try to get into here and do it again.
Okay.
So if you catch us run around and shove a microphone in your face, don't panic.
That's all right. We'll come by and check you out, that's for sure.
We usually don't get a booth or a table or anything simply because, we're running around trying to talk to anybody and everybody we can.
Right.
So we'll find you. How's that?
What's that? What'd you say?
I said, we'll find you.
Okay. I kind of plan on doing a little undercover work there for Twisted Paranormal. I'm going to try to, you know, do some little, like maybe some Facebook posts or something like that and, you know, say, hey, find the guy with the twisted shirt on, you know, and get a free T-shirt or something like that. I'm going to try to take some of our stuff just to hand out. Even though we're not a vendor, I'm not charging anything. I'm just going to hand some merchandise out to people, kind of get the name out. We're looking at next year, hopefully, maybe being able to get down there to possibly promote for the team or something.
This is just a
check it out thing. You know, I want to go see what it's all about, enjoy it. Because, you know, when you're a vendor at these events, you don't get to do anything. So you miss out on a lot of the talks and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we noticed
like when we were at Parapest, we shared a table with Sarah LaBrie and Megan Campbell. Well, mm-hmm. we didn't share a table. We just kind of hit all our shit there. They were kind of stuck there. Well, meanwhile, we're off having a blast.
Well, no. We did exchange to where they would go off for a while. We'd man the booth. And it was really cool being across from the Booth Brothers, which are I had met them before. Also, Bill Bean. Then we had Freddie and Jason and the Joker walking around.
Hey, speaking of which, Paul just sent me 3 sound clips about 15 minutes ago. They're on my laptop, so I don't know if I can hear them. But I'm going to try to play these and see what the hell actually comes up.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Could you actually hear it?
Oh, yeah.
I heard it. Just doesn't sound like anything except for...
It sounds like someone created something.
I thought you were playing a Jabba the Hutt clip. Did he just call you fucker?
Yeah.
Do what?
Did he just call you fucker?
No.
I heard fucker. I thought that was fitting.
I thought I heard that too.
Damn. Oh, no, let me play it again and make sure. Uh-oh. No, I already hit mute. Hang on. I don't know if I'm going to... damn it. No, he called me old friend.
I still hear fucker. Lyle, do you hear fucker?
That time that you heard it, I heard it. This time it sounds not something totally different.
Play it again, Dennis.
You guys are right. You guys are right, man. Why you got to keep picking on me?
We're not.
That was it right there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the second clip.
Exactly. I hear, how are you, old fucker?
Y'all aren't funny anymore. I want to take my marbles and go home.
Dude, like, if I had a way to record it and play it back to you of what I'm hearing on my end and what Miles is hearing on his end, it does not sound like anything that you're hearing on your end. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. The speaker on this laptop sucks. But this will give you an idea of what... he's our buddy Paul Gemitter from... we met him up at Parafest. Uh-huh. I met him when I turned the corner real fast. I was kind of in a hurry to get somewhere. I turned this blind corner and nearly plowed into Freddy Krueger.
Oh, that's who that
wonderful,
was.
Wonderful character role. Just awesome. His voice, dead on. No pun intended. But he actually did a promo for us, so here we go.
Getting nightmares? Then you're not listening to Full Spectrum Radio, the best radio on the planet.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, I turned the corner into him, and I mean, he has a custom leather glove with the... like 6-inch long spikes coming out and the whole nine yards. The latex silicone mask that he wears is horrific. I turned the corner into him, nearly pissed myself, and he just looked at me and wagged one blade and tells me,
you need to slow down. Freddy doesn't like it when you run.
And gave that laugh. And I'm like, dude, you are flipping phenomenal. We got to catch up later. And I told him that, you know, Matt and I are running around doing the radio show. And he said, well, and he leans into me real close and he goes, I hardly ever break character once I'm in costume, but I'll make sure to catch up with you guys after I'm out of costume and we'll talk. So he comes strolling over a little bit later on, and he had already gone up to Matt at one point and freaked Matt out in costume. Then he comes over and starts talking to us later on. He's dressed in his civilian clothes. I guess you'd call it civilian clothes, just normal street clothes, whatever. And I knew right away who he was. He had shared his name with me. So I shook hands with him and said, Matt, this is my buddy Paul. We met a little while ago. You actually met him earlier, but probably didn't know it. And about this time, Matt gets this really dumbfounded look on his face and goes, we met earlier? And at this point, he looks at him and goes, yes, we met, and I'll see you again in your dreams. Matt's eyes got huge, and he goes, that was you? Holy shit.
This is also a guy who's like 5'8", and he shows up very prim and proper and dapper. Not what I met when he was in character. I had absolutely no idea whatsoever.
The best one, Matt, the girl that dropped her beer twice. Remember?
Yeah.
Well, Freddie's out on the smoking patio. This chick comes over behind him and taps him on the right shoulder. So, of course, he turns right, and she's hiding off to his left. He turned around and just shook that one blade like, no, no, no. Well, a little bit later, she's standing over there just talking, not paying attention to nothing. Freddie comes up behind her, leans right up to her ear and goes, it's not nice to fuck with Freddy. And she dropped her beer, screamed bloody murder, and ran about 10 feet before she realized what was going on. A little bit later, he goes over and does the same damn thing to her. Same ass response. And this time, I almost had tears in my eyes laughing so hard. And he's just standing back from her when she finally stopped her run, and he just wagged his finger and looked at her and goes, just remember. She didn't go near that man the rest of the night. But, well, it is now 20 after 11. I know you've got to get up for work. I've got to get up for work. I want to thank you very much for calling in and joining us tonight, Lyle.
Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you guys. I just wanted to join in. Since it was an open night, I figured I'd call in and just chat with you. I like talking with you guys.
Yeah. For some reason, finding somebody with your own kind of crazy was kind of comforting.
Hey, at least we got to do a little review while we were doing it, too.
Yeah, definitely. That photograph is pretty sweet.
Thanks for doing that, Matt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It's and I know we didn't get too in depth about the second one that you sent, but
right.
And I was in the middle of still doing the first one when in different mediums and stuff, so I didn't hear exactly what you were saying was in the second one.
No, I just sent the second one because that was really the first picture, and then the second one was the one that we caught the figure in. So they were like consecutive pictures. I just wanted to show that to you so you could see that there wasn't anything in the first one. There's nothing there to be checking out.
Yeah.
That one. So.
No, it's pretty impressive. When you look at it in the second like filtered one that I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
The back side of the body is still there, but the front side's gone.
Right. I see that.
And that's what's real intriguing. So, no, I mean, in my opinion, cool capture, cool catch. Like, seriously.
Yeah, good. That was our first investigation there, and that night we had so much stuff happen that night. It was just off the charts for us. And every other time we've been back, you know, they've been doing all the renovations and stuff like that. And a lot of times we feel like when Angel leaves in the evening that sometimes a lot of those things leave with her or they just go away. Because it kind of dies down there, you know, after midnight it dies down fast. So and that's usually about the time she leaves.
Well, you gotta love the early ghosts instead of the ones that come out at, you know, 3 and 4:30 a.m. and stuff happening, because then you have to stay up. If you can get something wrapped up by 11:30, awesome.
Yeah.
I love those spirits.
Well, guys, thank y'all. I appreciate you letting me be on here again.
Oh, man, we enjoy it. Always good conversation. Yeah. I'll talk to you before Friday. We'll figure out what's happening.
Okay. I'll be in touch with you. Guys, y'all have a good night, okay?
You too.
Hey, you do the same, buddy. Stay safe.
All right, bud. I'm out.
So I'm chatting with Paul right now. He is doing Scares That Care coming up in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just wasn't sure if you heard me.
Yeah, I thought you had more.
No. Just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, between you and I and, you know, whoever's still listening. But I'm talking to him to see if we can set him for next Wednesday night.
That works for me.
Do what?
So that works for me. Yes, I'm good with it.
Yeah, he says, well, they want some little 10 o'clock works good. So, of course. I'm like, that'll be fine. So, next week we will have him. On air with us at 10 o'clock. So we'll actually get to talk to Freddie. We'll get to talk to Siphon. Now I'm hoping he brings out Isaac.
Isaac! My friend Isaac.
I love that voice. And he is so awesome with it.
Yeah, and there's something wrong with you.
Well, not yours. But his.
No, there's something wrong.
Snuggle.
There's something wrong with you for loving Isaac's voice, because that shit is creepy.
Come on, dude. Even as a kid. Now, this is how jacked up I was as a kid. I liked clowns. Come on.
Yeah, well, I never had any, and still to this day don't have any problem with clowns.
I told him, excellent, we'll talk next week, and he says, okay, tell Scaredy Matt I said hi.
Fuck you, but I love you, Paul.
Oh man, here's a trip.
What did he say?
He hasn't responded yet.
So have you seen the video that's going around that Ohio's introducing the new death penalty procedure?
Oh, yeah, where they rip the head off and set the body on fire and...
Yeah, I'm all for it. Our new system is a hallmark of compassion. Now these people can die quick because the machine's claws are coated with topical solution.
Yeah. That's also from The Onion. So we all know how,
yeah,
you know, on par The Onion is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, nothing is sacred. Now, where in the hell did my... Well, I guess I can't use that one, so I'll plug this one in. He actually sent a sound clip to me, so I'm going to plug in the speaker here and see if we can get this sound clip to play better than the last ones. So bear with me. Damn it. It's horrible when you're surrounded by technology and you're such a moron.
Fuck you, Mac.
It made my dog go off.
But it wasn't any better. It was actually worse.
Well, stand by. I just backed my volume off.
Fuck you too, Mac.
What? What? What was that? Freddy saying "fuck you too, Matt"?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I can already understand how next week is going to go.
Yes, that'll go great.
For you, I got Freddy after my ass. Oh, wait, yeah, and I have to go to sleep tonight.
Sleeps for the week.
One, two, Freddy's coming for you.
Yeah, no shit.
Who's that lightweight think he's dealing with? Freddy's back.
How well was the sound on that?
Not that well.
Damn it. Too loud, too soft, too gruff, what?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. I don't really know how to fix that.
Cancel off the soft thing. But,
yeah.
Let's
see. Maybe if I play it just from the background instead of trying to hold it up near the mic.
Dennis, who is that lightweight? I think he's dealing with.
I heard Dennis, who was that lightweight, and I couldn't make out the rest of it.
I can't find my little, you know, the little bullet speaker. I can't find it, and it usually plays very well, so I'm using another one that I picked up for $10 just to work on job sites with, another little rechargeable, but it works fantastic on the SB7. I was really impressed with it. But it's a little iHome rechargeable, and it works fantastic when doing SB7 sessions. But it's a rather loud one, so I'm wondering if maybe if I find the little bullet, if it'll actually sound better. I don't know what the hell I've done with it, unless it's in the rest of my bag. I don't know. It must be in my large kit instead of just my small speed bag. See, it's terrible when you get so into this crap that you've got, you know, umpteen bags of shit that you carry with you, and it depends on where you're going, and it depends on what you're doing and what you carry. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm
preaching to the choir. I've seen your bags. Don't even go into it.
Yeah, I have more now. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I found
I mean, other than my DVR system and the 24-inch monitor that I tote with that, I found that I can take all my shit to a location, but I have just a large camera bag that I use to carry around the location because it usually has all the different things that I want anyway without having, you know, this huge list of shit with me. I don't need everything that I have at all times on an investigation. You know, if you're going on, you know, from one area to one area, you know you're going to carry just this item or just that item, then, you know when you go into that area, you're going to want, well, in this area, let's go do an SB7 session. You're going to want your small camera. You're going to want one or two recorders. So I've broke it down to this small camera bag that I call it my speed bag. And that's the speed items that I take with me. And then I'll go back to, you know, like command or wherever we have all our gear set, and I'll change items for the next area. So just a convenience for me, I guess. But, yeah, having suitcase after suitcase and trying to drag them all around, the hell with that. I'm not going to use all that shit in one area anyway.
Yeah. I still drag it, and 99% of the time it still sits in the car.
Uh-oh. Did we lose you, Matt?
You can't hear me?
No, you broke up. You just went silent.
Oh, no, I said 99% of the time when I bring everything with me, 99% of it stays in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's kind of, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's good to have all of it, but once you... I don't know. Once you've tested it and found out what's bullshit and what seems to work the best, you can pretty much condense it down into one, like, carry bag.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I do. I've got, you know, a lot of times I only take my speed bag to some locations. You know, it has... Well, hell, let me. I think I've got 3 flashlights in it. I can carry 5 recorders, my small video cam, and extra IR light work in it. The Ovilus is in it. I have a K2. I use one side pocket for a shitload of extra batteries. The other side pocket has a couple of small, like 6-inch. Tripods that I can set my recorders on, my laser grid pen, you know, it's got half a dozen SD cards in it, you know, and that's pretty much all you're going to use on a majority of investigations anyway. In the large kit, the large bag is where I carry, you know, 3 other video recorders, the large electric-powered laser grid, 3 or 4 different tripods, you know. But the majority of everything that I'm going to use the most on an investigation fits in just a small camera bag. And it's just a convenience. You know, everybody thinks that they got to have 63 duffel bags of stuff. And no, not necessarily. Keep in mind, you need to kind of target your tools towards what you've had for reports on a location. You know, if you have a lot of, they hear a lot of voices, then you're definitely going to need recorders. If one of the things that they get most often is footsteps, then you're going to need the REM pods to put down the hallway, or you know, the recorders. Crap, I can't think of what I want to say. You know what I'm talking about, Matt, the little data recorders.
Well, what recorders?
The data recorders, data loggers. You know,
oh, data loggers?
Yeah. Yeah, they're in the big bag. So it just kind of, it depends on what the stories are in that location as to what I, as to what I carry. But I don't see the sense in taking everything if their biggest complaint is we're hearing voices. Okay, well, if you're hearing voices, but you've never seen anything move, you don't have any footsteps, you know, then it makes it pretty easy as to what you take. Just the way I like to set up my gear bag when I head out for an investigation.
Wait, sorry, now it's cutting out on my end. What was that?
I said if I'm only getting specific reports of this, that, or the other, then I only take stuff that targets towards that.
I do and I don't. I still bring stuff with me that has nothing to do with what the reports are, because who the hell knows, to be honest?
Yeah, but I'm not going to take 6 suitcases of shit to the
because
we're hearing voices.
No, I won't bring that, but I'll still bring, like, a couple, well, full spectrum cameras. Yeah, watching us. No, but I'll still bring a decent amount of stuff, you know, not 6-7 bags, but I'll bring, you know, this sounds horrible, but it's the easiest way to describe it. I'll bring my travel bag, which has my necessities.
Right.
And then I'll bring one other bag of obscure shit that, you know, to try experiments and see if something else changes.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I gear myself up. But let me give you a fair warning, brother. We don't have much longer before Blog Talk just chucks us the hell out. So I'm going to throw out our plugs. I'll play us a song to get us out of here. You and I can talk again. But, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to put something out there. I want to see if I can get this trending. Hashtag justice for Brittany. Brittney. You'll see it on my wall. You'll see it on Matt's wall. You'll see it on our Twitters as well. You'll see a brief story on a link that I posted from change.org. We're petitioning the Commonwealth Attorney in Henrico, Virginia, to reopen a death investigation that was ruled a suicide, but we don't believe it was. So, and the reason we don't believe it was a suicide, most commonly a right-handed person will not put a handgun to their behind their left ear to commit suicide. So we think it was not suicide.
Well, and to add to that, I would I completely concur. If you were to take, don't take any sort of weapon or sharp object or anything like that, but if you were to take a deck of cards and hold it between your knuckles and your hand and try to put it behind the opposite ear, that doesn't make any sense.
But,
so,
yeah. Now, when we talked last night, Matt, I told you that the information that I got was from family that the GSW was to the back of the head.
Yeah.
I actually did make a phone call to a friend of mine today that's a detective. And it was a single GSW to the back left behind the ear. Well, Brittany painted for me for months. I know she's right-handed. So it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't stand to reason for me. So I think the case needs to be reopened. I think it needs to be reviewed. And that's what we're trying to do is get justice for Brittany hashtag trending and try to get that petition signed enough that we can get the Commonwealth attorney to reopen the case. It's a 20-year-old girl that was like a little sister to me that I hated losing. And I want to see that her family can rest easy knowing that we didn't give up. And I want that young lady to know that we didn't give up.
Oh, so, and also to add on to that, the prime suspect of, if it was not a self-inflicted wound, is also somebody who is in prison right now.
Yeah, he's currently locked up for home invasion burglary, carrying a firearm during the commission of a felony. So I think there's a lot to it that wasn't discovered. And I've started playing with the powers that be to see if I can get this thing reopened. And I would have really loved to have opened the show with this, but I didn't want it to be just so morose.
You know what? So Paul said he's on next week for the second half, correct?
Correct.
Let's do the first half. I'll talk to some of the local detectives here that we've had on the show before. Talk to Graham, talk to everybody else.
I think one of the people that I would really love to have on air with us spent many years as a law enforcement officer. Let's see if I can get Mr. Bruce Tango to call us. I'll shoot him a text in the next few days and see.
Yeah, let's do the first half of we'll get, and this isn't for just this case. This is for anybody who's gone through this or is going through this or missing persons. Body's been found and they just say, hey, we don't know what happened. Well, we'll get some criminal minds involved, not in the criminals themselves, but the ones who try and find them and put all of us at rest for the decent people who get up and go to work and love their family and this, that, and the other thing. Well, we'll get some minds together and see if we can't actually put this completely to bed.
Yes, and we'll see if we can't effect a little change and, well, here we go. Hashtag justice for Brittany.
Yeah. But, well, I'm gonna start putting out there on Twitter, and I'm gonna talk to the people that we know that usually have something that goes trending on Twitter, and see if they can't put it out as well.
Awesome. And I'm going to do the same. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Full Spectrum Radio. I want to thank you for listening all the way to the end here, if you do. Also, I'll thank you in advance if you can put out there hashtag Justice for Brittany. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm CPR Dennis.
I'm CPR Matt.
You can find us at CPR Dennis and CPR Matt on Facebook and Twitter. You can also find us at Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers at .com and Facebook. With that being said, thank you so much, and I'm going to play us out of here.
Good night, everybody. See you next week.
I know you, who are you now? Look into my eyes if you can remember. Do you remember? Oh, I can see, I can still find. You're the only voice my heart can recognize. But I can hear you now, yeah. I'll never be the same. I'm caught inside the memory. The promise of yesterday is not belong to you. I just can't walk away. Because after how can I pretend?